Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Let's begin reading in verse number 43, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, John chapter number 1. Thank you for being here. Thank you for those that are participating in live webcasting this evening, and those that will listen to this Bible study in the future. What a blessing you are to our assembly here at the Open Door Baptist Church. Verse number 43, the Bible says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. And he, Jesus, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you that we can be here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that even as we're so near to, Lord, celebrating, Lord, these next few days with family and friends and loved ones, this special, Lord, celebration of the miraculous virgin birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We, Lord, of these folks that are here and those that are participating tonight elsewhere, Lord, have set aside this time for the Bible study, and I sure thank you for that. I pray that in Christ's name you'd help me, give me strength. Lord, give me wisdom. Use me. Please don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that you can do through me tonight in someone's heart. I pray that you'd help the meetings going downstairs. I pray for those that are still out of town. We know several that are still gone. Some, Lord, are family functions. I pray that you would help them, those that we know are sick. Lord, we do ask you to touch Miss Connie, Lord. Help her and Tom, Lord, during these days in which they find themselves. I pray that you would comfort them. I pray, God, you'd help, Lord, our senior saints during this time of the year. You'd strengthen them. Thank you, Lord, for the magnificent job our children did last Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be here this evening. Help us, we beg you in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. I love you, and you're a very special part of the Open Door Baptist Church, and I'm glad you're here. You're here tonight. I want to back up just a little bit, if you'll allow me, and I want to just kind of back up a few verses and not really give you anything new that I from anything that I said last Bible study of the book of John. But just kind of refresh your memory so we can build up and get ready for the remainder of this chapter and what it contains. Now, you remember that there was a day when John the Baptist was approached by these Jews that had been sent by the Jews of authority, probably the Sanhedrin court. And they were to ask this John the Baptist, what's his gig? What you up to? They knew who he was. They knew his father. They knew his mother, Elizabeth. His father, Zacharias. They knew his father was a priest. They knew that John also was because of his bloodline. He was a Levite. And yet he was baptizing folks, and he was preaching a new message, preaching a message about repentance. And he was preparing a way for the Messiah. And so they sent these Jews, and who they thought were knowledgeable with the Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. And they asked him the three questions. They said, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah?" And he said, "No, I'm definitely not him." They said, "Are you Elijah that would come?" As we read in the Old Testament, we've been told Elijah would come before the Christ. He said, "No, I'm not Elijah." And we talked about how the Lord later on said that made a reference to John the Baptist being Elijah. He was talking about in the spirit of Elijah. And we shared with you the scriptures about that one day Elijah would come. I believe in the tribulation period, one of the two witnesses, he'd be preaching and preparing the way of the Lord who would come back. And he would destroy his enemies and set up the millennial reign. Today, Matthew asked me about some game he plays. He said, "Dad, they're always talking about world peace." I said, "There'll be no world peace, son, until Jesus comes back. And when he's a ruling around," I said, "the problem is there's never been a man that has the ability to sit on the throne or be a ruler anywhere to give world peace. But God can, and he will. And that's when the lion and the lambs will lay down beside each other. It's going to be like another Garden of Eden. It's going to be a perfect world. And the Lord will rule. And we that have been faithful to him, I believe only the faithful." Some folks say, "Well, the Christians will rule." I don't believe that. I believe only the faithful ones will rule and reign. I believe God's going to reward those that's been faithful. They'll rule and reign along with the converted Jews. And so that's a 1,000-year reign. And the reason I mention that is because we're going to see this in the questioning and the doubt that Nathanael has about Jesus of Nazareth. And of course, he said, "I'm not Christ, I'm not Elijah." And they said, "Well, you must be that prophet that Moses spoke of in Deuteronomy." He said that prophet, of course, we know that prophet was in reference to a prophetic statement of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Once again, I'm not that prophet because that prophet is Jesus, and I'm not him either." And they said, "Well, who are you? What's going on with you?" And he says, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. I'm not the Word of God. He is. I'm just a voice crying out, make straight the way of the Lord. In other words, prepare your heart. The King is coming. The Messiah is coming. He said, I'm trying, by God's help, prepare the heart of men and women, boys and girls, for the coming of the Messiah. And so we understand that when Jesus finally came on the scene, that John proclaimed, made the wonderful announcement, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And notice that it's not sins. He does forgive all sins, but the reason it is singular and not plural, I believe, is because sin is just sin. And there are many different types of sins, but generally speaking, the sin of all the world, it's all sin. And he's there to take it all away. And I love the part where it says, he taketh, E-T-H. He continually, even today, he took away somebody's sins. Isn't that great? Tonight, he's going to take somebody's sins away. And when we confess it, he takes away our sins. And he beareth our sins on the cross, or he bore our sins on the cross. And he taketh them. We talked about the two goats and the sacrifice and the Passover and the scapegoat, and how one was to be slaughtered, one was to be a sacrifice for the sins of Israel, and the other was to be taken out by a fit man way out in the wilderness so he would not return. It was a picture of Christ bearing our sins, taking our sins far as the east is from the west. By the way, there's no east pole and there's no west pole. Amen. Just keep going east, east, east. You can't stop. Amen. You can go to the extreme north and stop and start south. But you can continually go east. You continually go west. And that's the picture of how our sins have been taken far from us. What sins are you talking about? Hallelujah. And so we see that Andrew, and we believe, without a doubt, John here, the beloved, the one who's writing this book, are the two disciples that have been taught by John the Baptist. And those both leave John the Baptist because he's not the Messiah. And they begin to follow the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We finish with Andrew's great testimony. What a blessing Andrew is to you and I who feel that we're just nobodies in the church. We feel like we, We just kind of just, we're faithful and we give and we pray and we invite, but we don't preach, we don't teach, we may don't sing, but yet we love the Lord. And yet it's those type of people that God can also use in a very great way. And Peter was a bold Christian, very bold Christian for the Lord, but had not been for Andrew's love for the Lord, had not been for his brother Andrew's love for the Lord and to obey God, we wouldn't probably have the story of Peter the way we have it today. Andrew was very, very vital in the conversion of his brother Peter. All right. Now, we get to verse number, let's get to verse number 43, okay? Verse number 43. The Bible says that the day following, John has given us a day by day. We've read again the next day, verse 35, and we read this the next day, verse 29. So the next day, again the next day. Now in verse 43, the day following. John has given us a day by day of the account of the beginning of the ministry of Jesus upon this earth. Now, I know that Jesus, we know the story about how that he, with his great wisdom, he confounded the wisdom of the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers. But actually, his ministry did not begin until after his baptism. And so these are the first days of the Lord's ministry. And this ministry would be for 3 to 3.5 years long before he is crucified. So these are the very early days of his ministry upon the earth. And so the very first thing he does, he is calling a people. Aren't you glad that the Lord can do it all by himself, but he'd rather have us help him? Amen? I know the Lord don't need me. I know that. I'm not stupid. I know the Lord don't need me, but I also know that he wants me. Amen? That's a blessing to my heart. The Lord could use somebody else. If the Lord wanted to, he didn't need me at creation, did he? He didn't need you at creation. Amen? He didn't need you for salvation. You didn't do anything to get saved. He saved you. Amen? You didn't find him. He found you. But when it comes to service, he wants us. He wants us to serve and to go out and minister. What is the verse in Corinthians? I love it. We are laborers together with him. That's with God. We are laborers together with him. What a blessing that we serve the Lord, and the Lord serves right along with us. Isn't that great? And so he is calling disciples. He is preparing these men who will eventually be the pillars of the New Testament church in the book of Acts. And then we have the story of Philip and Nathanael. Notice verse number 43. The day following, so we know there's Jesus, there's Andrew, there's Peter, and there's John. Possibly James is here by now. So possibly James and John, brothers. And number two, Andrew and Peter, brothers. And now he's fixing to call two more, Philip and Nathanael. And we'll talk about Nathanael and some things about him shortly. It says the day following, verse 43, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. Very important you understand those two words, would go. I believe every word in the Scripture is inspired of the Lord. That's very important. It said that Jesus would go. In other words, it's a picture that Jesus has a perfect plan. Jesus, the Bible says that God is a God of order, right? God of order. It just didn't so happen that he went to this place. He went with a purpose. And we're going to see the purpose of him going into Galilee, into Bethesda here shortly. But the day following, Jesus would go. Let me ask you this. Are you just an aimless Christian? Are you just wandering aimlessly? Are you someone that just goes about your day and go about the day. Don't tell my wife this, okay? Don't tell her this. I wanted to get her something for Christmas. Please don't tell her this. And don't ruin it. She'll get to find out. And there's a certain type of pocketbook she wanted at, I want to say J.C. Penney's, I believe. And, well, I went with her one time. She said, "Boy, I love that pocketbook." And so I decided I was going to get that pocketbook. And so before I left, I was going to get her that, and I was going to get her something else. And this is a week ago, I guess. And I went in there, and before I left the house, I pulled over and I prayed. And I said, Lord, I said, you know what little money I got for Christmas? I said, you know. I said, we've spent it on our kids, but Lord, I want to get my wife something. I said, Lord, and this is how much I got. And I told him how much I got. I said, this is how much I got. I said, my wife is precious to me, Lord. I said, I don't know where I'd be without my right arm. I said, she means more to me than I could ever explain to anybody. And I said, I sure would like to get her something nice. And I said, Lord, her desire is that pocketbook. And she had mentioned this about 3 weeks ago, and I just act like I didn't hear. I said, Lord, I hear it's a very popular pocketbook. I said, Lord, I pray that you would work that thing out, and maybe you can just help me with money I got get that. I don't remember how much it was. And I went over to JCPenney's and went up there, and you know how things are during Christmas. Things are just strode everywhere. And they had about three of those pocketbooks left, and not one of them was the color she wanted. And I just looked, and I thought, well, maybe she'll like this one. And I said, no, I can't get her that. And I kept thinking, I said, well, maybe I just need to go up to another JCPenney's, find out, maybe it's in there. Anyway, several things happened. And so I just stood there, and I said, well, you know, it wasn't the Lord's will. And about that time, a woman came around with a roller shelf. She had four shelves of that pocketbook, and she had about 10 of that color. I'm telling you what, I got to crying in JCPenney's. I was walking down aisle raising my hand. I know people thought I was a nutcase. I was surprised secure. Man, I got to weeping, and I said, Lord, you knew I was going to be here. I grabbed that pocketbook, and I ran. Hallelujah. And I said, sir, you got to pay for that. I said, oh, I'm sorry. And what paid for it, guess what? Had enough money, went and got the billfold for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate you. Amen. I just believe that if we pray about our day, the other day we was going to go out and do, we had to pick up some things for our family. You know how things are. And my wife said, Lord, I thought, what a foolish prayer. Lord, at the same spot I pray, right there at the end of the driveway, we usually stop and we'll pray before we leave. We're going to go somewhere. And she said, Lord, help us today to find a good parking place. And that was one day it rained. And do you know we went to about four different places? And do you know all four places we either got the first or second parking spot? I'm talking about during this time of the year. Amen. I didn't think she was a godly lady, but she can get a prayer answer too. Amen. Amen. But anyway, we can pray and God can direct us, can't He? And it says that He would go. It was His will. You know, let's just pray God's will be done in our lives. Say, Lord, this is what I desire, but Your will be done. His way is always perfect. His will is always perfect. And it said the following day, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee. Now, there's a reason. There's a purpose for this. And notice what the purpose was. What a wonderful purpose. It's very simple. It's three words. And findeth Philip. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful purpose. The Bible says in the book of Peter that our Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. The purpose, Brother Keith, of Him doing His Father's will was to find people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a blessing that is. And He findeth Philip. That was His great, that ought to be our great purpose. As Christians, there's a lot of purposes. A father, as a mother, a husband, a wife. As an employer, I know that. But as a Christian, our purpose, our goal, our aim are to be to tell people about Jesus Christ and get them to the Lord. What a great purpose. He findeth Philip. I bet you Philip never got over this day where Jesus found him. I'm asking you, where were you at when Jesus purposed in His heart on that day, I was saved on a Sunday. Anybody else saved on a Sunday? Some Sundays. How many saved on Monday? Monday crowd. How many saved on Tuesdays? Tuesday, how about Wednesdays? How about Thursday? How about Friday? How about Saturday? All 7 days in this auditorium, God saved somebody and every day of the seven. Ain't that great? Hallelujah. Oh, and the Lord purposed, by purpose, He found you on that particular day. And wherever you may be, and He found you and He found Philip. Oh, thank God Philip didn't find Jesus. Jesus found Philip. The Lord wasn't the one that was lost. It was Philip. Now watch this now. Philip is in his hometown. Jesus from Nazareth, earthly speaking, this is going to be good. This just popped in my mind. Earthly speaking, Jesus, for his hometown was Nazareth. Here he goes to Bethesda. That's Philip's hometown. But in his own hometown, his own environment, his own well-familiar folks that he knew and shops and marketplaces, he was still lost. And Jesus found him. Praise God, I'm fixed to have a fit. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, when we were in our familiar place, maybe it was a bar, it was in our familiar sins, whatever it was, Jesus found us. Amen. Hallelujah. And he found Philip, and he said unto him, follow me. Now, don't you think about this. We know that, according to verse 44 and 45, that's exactly what Philip did. Notice, when we read about the record of Andrew and John and Peter and Philip, those are the first four we read in this chapter that have been converted to Christianity, to Christ as his followers. Those were the first four, and possibly probably James with John. But we'll mention those four because those four are here. But notice the record of each of their conversion, that although they all became Christians, although they all became disciples, and they all, what we could say, found the way. Who's the way? Jesus is the way. They all found the way, right? Now, you got to catch me on this. Andrew, John, Peter, and now Philip, four men, they all found the way. They all became Christians. They all became followers of Christ. But notice the different paths they took, or it took, for them to get to the way. I didn't say they all went a different road to heaven. They already all are on the road. They're on the straight and narrow. But they all took different paths to get to the road. Some of you was led to the Lord at home. Or some was led to the Lord at church. Some was led to the Lord by somebody witnessing. Some of you was led to the Lord by a preacher preaching a message. Some of you led by the Lord, you was convicted when somebody sung a song and you came to the altar. There's many different paths that people take to get to the way. We're all on the way, but we all got different testimonies. Andrew, his testimony, it was the testimony of the witness of John the Baptist was the path that Andrew took, and John also took to Jesus. It was the witness of somebody they admired. It was by the witness of somebody they looked up to. That's how they took the path, but they found the road. Amen? Amen? Amen. And what about Peter? Peter took the path from a family member. His family member, Andrew, his brother, prayed and pleaded with him. We talked about the wording when Andrew went to, in verse number 41, notice this, he first findeth. Notice that. He first findeth. F-I-N-D-E-T-H. Do you see that? That's continually. We don't know how often Andrew went to Peter, but it was more than one time. Do you understand? It didn't say he found and Peter got saved like that. No, we know about Peter, bold and boisterous and sometimes rude and prideful. No, it took Andrew to keep going after him. Keep going after him. I don't know what the time lapse was here, but the wording is he first findeth. He went after Peter and he went after him. The pleading and the praying of a family member was the testimony of Peter. What about Philip? His is totally different. There is nobody even involved. There's not a family member involved. There's not a friend involved. But there is a preacher involved. And it's the greatest preacher who's ever walked and ever will live. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. God dealt with this heart. You know, there's people saved today in heaven and even on this earth still that they've never had anybody witness to them. They've never had anybody to... They never sat in the church pew and heard the preacher preach the Word of God with power and conviction. Never. But they're just as saved. They're on the road of salvation as I am. Because Jesus dealt with them. I remember a missionary said one time that he went to a deep, dark part of Africa. And by the way, do you know that there are still... I forgot how many. I better not even give you a number because I'll be wrong. But there's still hundreds upon hundreds of peoples that have never been given the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are no missionaries there. Hundreds upon hundreds of peoples. And that's peoples is a village or a community of people or a nationality that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, "Preacher, what about those folks?" Well, the Lord deals with them directly like He did Philip. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Missionary said when he got there, and said he went out visiting and decided to hold his first service. Said when he held his first service, he said he just had a handful that showed up. Said he knew most of them was there just to see what it was all about. They'd never seen a white man before. They didn't know what this white man was going to do. And yet there was one of those men from the tribe there that came, and he came with tears in his eyes, shook his hand, and he said, "I've been praying for somebody to tell me more about the God of the skies, the God of the stars." He had already been convicted by just looking at the stars. He told that missionary, "I knew there was only one God." And he said, "I believe in the God of the stars." He said, "Preacher, listen, he didn't know what his name was. He couldn't say the great rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, our Savior, the Messiah, but he put his faith in the right person. The heavens declare the glory of God." Amen? And so, Jesus simply said this. I mean, Philip's conversion here shares with us the power of God's Word. That's why I'm so strong that as long as I'm the pastor here, and God forbid that if I pass away, you get some other pansy preacher that doesn't stand with the book. Find you another church, amen, with the book. With the book, amen. Make that number one priority. And someone called one time and said, "Preacher, what do you got?" And maybe I was shot too straight that day, but they said, "We're looking for a church." And I said, "Oh, praise the Lord. Can I help you? Any questions?" "Yeah, what do you got for the children?" I said, "Well, we got Sunday school every Sunday morning. We got Sunday morning worship service. And then we come back on Sunday night again. And then we come back on Wednesday night." I said, "We got four services a week for your children." Amen. Nothing greater than the preaching of God's Word. Nothing greater than the preaching of God's Word. If the Word of God don't win them, they can't be won. Or they won't be one, I should say. They won't be one. And that's the power of God's Word. Look what He said. "Follow me." Two words. Two words. Follow me. The power of God's infallible, inerrant Word. You know, this is the same testimony that Matthew had. You remember Matthew? He said it was we believe he was like an IRS man type deal, tax man. And Jesus came by and looked down and said, "Follow me." And Matthew had the same testimony as Philip. Brother Philip, stand in the line. Tell us about how you got saved. "Well, it's rather simple, preacher. I don't have a testimony like some of these folks do." "Well, that's okay, Brother Philip. Tell us about it." "Well, actually, I was in my hometown of Bethesda, and the Messiah came back, and he looked right at me, and he said, 'Follow me.' And that's exactly what I started doing." What a great testimony, amen. What a great testimony. All of these men were saved. And all of them were on the right way and on the right path to Jesus Christ. And you and I that are saved, we all are saved. And we're all on our way to heaven. But we all can say our testimonies are very, very different. Amen? No wonder it says, "Whosoever. Whosoever." All right, verse 45. This is wonderful. Now, verse 44, "Now Philip was of Bethesda, the city of Andrew and Philip." This is the same hometown of Andrew and Philip, the brothers there. Verse 45, he got the same salvation Andrew had. He got saved, and he wants other people to be saved. I believe that's the only salvation there is. I believe that's the first thing you wonder and worry about. When you get saved, you want your family and your friends to get saved. You want them to have what you got. Andrew found, he got saved, and he told Peter, and now Philip finds Nathanael. And he said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law," the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, "and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Amen. Now, you have to understand, we know some great things about Philip. What a great man of God Philip was. But notice that, and remember that he's just a young convert here. All Christians start out babes. You understand that? Now, it's sad if you go to a good church and you go to church like you ought to and you're still a babe in the Lord. You're supposed to mature. You're supposed to get off the milk and get on some meat, amen? And you need to examine that tonight. Are you still a babe in the Lord? Some of you, some folks come to our church, have been saved for a while, but that was under preaching or teaching or in a church that they didn't get fed. You don't get fed, you cannot grow. And so now they're here, even though they've been saved for quite some time. They're still not mature in the Lord, but they are maturing in the Lord. And you'll never get to the point of perfection in your maturity as a Christian until you get to heaven. But yet, because you've been saved 30 years, that don't make you a mature Christian. Amen. And some folks mature faster than others. You know, I was saved September 8th, 1996. All right? I was called to preach May 1997. Without a doubt, God called me to preach the gospel. At that moment, I started preaching the Bible. I started preaching in nursing homes and jails and prisons and boy, the doors. I'm telling you, I'm not saying that to toot my little horn. I'm saying I have preached a many of a message. I've seen people saved. I've seen God use the Word of God in people's lives. God has blessed me to preach the Word of God in so many places. And you know, some think, well, I hadn't been saved long enough. Well, I was raised in a pastor's home. My dad pastored two different churches, and I was raised in a pastor's home. I was raised in church since I was 9 years old. And even though my heart, I didn't have the heart knowledge, I did have the head knowledge. And God, because I then went to the Wanna Clubs, because I had memorized scriptures at a Christian school, and because I memorized scriptures at the Iwana Clubs, and because the Bible classes at school, then when I got saved, the knowledge that God so graciously was giving me, I now have the freedom to use it. And so God called me. I saved in 96, September. What is that? October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. 8 months later, called to preach. 8 months after I was saved, God called me to preach. That was in 1997. I was married in February of 1998. 1999, we had our first child. Year 2000, the last of 2000, I was candidating. I was candidating year 2000 for three different churches. And the beginning of 2001, I began pastoring. I've been pastoring most of my saved life. You think about it. Most of my saved life, I've been saved for how many years? See, 96. 2006 is 10. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. What is that? 15 years. Thank you. I do have a head cold. That's the excuse I will use. Let me take my shoes off. I do better with my toes. I'm going to say 15 years. I'd have been pastoring 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 10 of those years. I've been pastoring 10 out of 15 years. I'm in my 11th year. But I've been preaching, I've been saved, 15 years? I've been preaching 14 years. And pastoring on my 11th year. And so, it's just what our children are being told. And then some folks that don't have that knowledge, or they don't, tap into that knowledge from the man of God or the Sunday school teachers in their private time with the Word of God, they don't mature in the Lord. Don't you ever think because you've been saved a long time, you're mature in the Lord. That's not, I know a lot of people that are 50, 60 years old, and they are not mature adults. Come on. They're immature. At times, I'm immature. Man. But for the most part, they're just immature. I don't care if they're 50. They're immature. And that's the way it is with Christians. So Philip, he is immature in the faith. He's been used of God. You've got to see this. Philip is just a young baby. He don't understand everything. Look what he calls Jesus. He goes to Nathanael and he wants to witness. He wants to witness, just like me and you did when we got saved. We wanted to witness to our family and our friends. You remember going and you really didn't know what to say? You was excited, you wanted to say something. I mean, it was bubbling up, you didn't know what to say, and you just said something, and you thought maybe later in life, thought, why did I ever say that? That's not even Bible. That ain't even true. Well, God understood your heart. And look what Philip says about Jesus. This is kind of an immature, a baby Christian's type of witness. He says, in verse number 45, he says, we have found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He said, we have found Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is an earthly name. Nazareth was an earthly place. We have found an earthly man from an earthly place, and he is son of an earthly man. Now, forgive me, and I'm not trying to be critical to Philip. He's just a young Christian. He don't know what to say. But we're going to see that when you witness, and you may not know what to say to a person. You may get tongue-tied. They may ask you a question, and it may just baffle you, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't even try to witness to so-and-so. I made myself look like a fool. They think that, man, I don't even know if I'm even saved anymore after that conversation. Why'd I even do that? And you say, preacher, I'm just not bold like you. I don't know the scriptures like you, preacher. I can't be a witness. No, you have no excuse. Philip had such a desire to please the Lord and to see others saved, even though he went about it the wrong way. And even though he didn't identify Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, God still used it. I'd rather have a man that stumbles around and spits and spatters and somebody witness to my family that can't get it all right, but their heart's right, than to have a man that's elegant in their speech and just says his word so perfectly and yet their heart not be right. Because God blesses those that have the heart, right heart. And watch what God did for Philip. Just a young Christian. He messed it all up. I mean, what a way. I mean, Jesus was a well-known name in those days, as it is today. Many folks call it Jesus. A well-known name. He said, I found the Messiah. He's Jesus. He's from Nazareth. And we're going to find out about Nazareth. And he's the son of Joseph. And so look what Nathanael, who's smart in the prophets. He's smart. He's got knowledge. And it says, Nathanael said unto him, verse 46, watch this, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? He says, wait a minute. He says, wait a minute. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So here comes Philip. Get this picture. He just got saved. He's excited. The Lord said, follow me. And boy, he said, boy, I'm going. I'm following Jesus. I'm going to follow the Messiah. So he's so excited, he's bubbling up with joy. He wants everybody, that's his family and friends, to find out about the Lord. So he goes to Nathanael. He says, Nathanael, you ain't believe this, but I found a very special man. And this man is Jesus, and he's from Nazareth, and he's the son of Joseph. Now I want to ask you a question. If you was to go out today and witness, do you think it would be proper for you to knock on the door and say, hello, I'm here to tell you about Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph? You already caused problems. Because I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of all those that repent, the Son of Almighty God. Right? I'm not making fun of Philip because we all made mistakes when we first got saved. We'd said things about Jesus and we found out, man, I can't believe I said that. He didn't do that. Or he never was called that. And so, but Nathanael, we're going to see here the reply of Jesus to Nathanael. Nathanael was very knowledgeable with the Old Testament prophets. He knew the Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. He knows it. And so as soon as Philip comes running and Nathanael's looking for the Messiah, as all Jews were at this time, he comes to Nathanael and said, Nathanael, we have found the Messiah. And he is Jesus of Nazareth, and he's the son of a man named Joseph. And immediately Nathanael, with his knowledge of the Old Testament, says, I've never read or found out anywhere in Scripture that the Messiah would come from Nazareth. There is no Old Testament prophecy that said Jesus would come from Nazareth. And Nathanael says, Philip, you got it wrong, bud. It's not him. Can any good thing? Nazareth had a bad reputation. Very wicked place. Very wicked place. And so he says, Philip, I appreciate your excitement. And this is what he said roundabout. He said, but that's not him. Because I've never read in the Old Testament studies that I've had that Jesus, that Christ, the Messiah, would come from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth anyway, Philip? Philip, that's just another one of those fly-by-night people call themselves the Christ. The Bible says they'll rise up. They'll be everywhere, right? We've had people in our age and in your parents' age and grandparents' age that rose up and said, I'm Christ. And so there were many folks at this time thought that they would come as the Messiah and claim themselves to be the Messiah, and they would lead Israel out of captivity and into glory and power. And so Philip comes and says, we found him. I have found him. I found him. He's Jesus of Nazareth, and he's the son of Joseph. And they said, wait, you don't know your Bible. I've never read that he's coming from Nazareth. And I never read that he'd be the son of Joseph. I read that he'd be the son of God. And so look what God did to help old Philip. He's in a predicament, ain't he? He's in a pickle. Philip's just messing things up, ain't he? And so Philip says, look at the latter part of verse 46. Here's a man that goes from slipping up with his tongue and just making things look really bad. I mean, he just fouled things up when it comes to witnessing. I mean, you want somebody to go to your family and friends that know what they're talking about, don't you? I've got some family and friends that they'll, if you don't know what you're talking about, they'll twist you up and spit you out. And you'll leave there thinking, oh my, am I even saved? You let a JW come to your door. They got so many false ideas, but they believe it so powerfully that if you're not in the Word of God like you ought to be, they'll chew you up and spit you out. That's right. And many of those people, you've got to know your Bible. And Nathaniel said, Philip, son, you messed up in the head. Who would dare say that the Messiah would even come from Nazareth? Maybe from Jerusalem, that's the capital city. That's where a king ought to come from. But from Nazareth? Look what he says. But God touched Philip's mouth, and Philip went from messing things up to saying one of the greatest witnessing phrases that you could ever say to somebody. And it's simple, right? Come and see for yourself. He said, he thought to himself, man, I fouled this thing up. All I can tell you, I know what he did for me. I know what he did for me. Won't you just come and find out what he can do for you? Hallelujah. You preach, I don't know all the Bible. I don't know. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. And say, and if you believe it like you ought to believe it, you've got a strong belief in it, you'll simply say, you come and find out. You come and see. What a wonderful way to witness to somebody. Amen. And so, you know what happened? His witness worked. Because Jesus and Nathanael are going to cross paths in verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said unto him, behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile. The very first thing Jesus said to Nathanael, he said, behold, an Israelite. He was saying that this was a true Jew, not only outwardly, not only was he by blood a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but in his heart, it was a picture with no guile. It was a picture of the sincerity that Nathanael had. Nathanael could be up there with Anna and Simeon, who longed to see the Messiah. They were longing for the Messiah. I'm going to prove that to you here in a minute. They longed, all through that trio, I believe in the Scriptures, were the three, and I know many of them, but these were the three that longed to see the Messiah, Brother Keith. And he was a good man. He was sincere. He was a devoted, religious Jew. And Jesus said, behold, an Israelite indeed. And verse 48, watch this. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? You've never met me. How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I love this. Philip, even though he kind of fouled things up, and even though he portrayed Jesus, and he didn't mean to, he's just a young convert. He didn't know. His knowledge was limited about Christ. He was called to learn. He was limited in his knowledge. And Nathanael had so much more knowledge about the Messiah than Philip did. All Philip knew was, he changed me. He did something for me that no one's ever done. You need to come find. And even though Philip called him the son of a man, even though Philip placed emphasis, I don't believe he really meant to, but even though Philip's words placed emphasis on the humanity of Jesus. Jesus shows his divinity to Nathanael. How does he do that? He meets Nathanael, and Nathanael says, "How you know me?" He's still got doubt. He don't know this. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We heard about other Christ that's coming. How you know me? And Jesus shows his divinity. He shows Nathanael that he is God by this statement. "I saw you before Philip came to you. You was under a fig tree." He said, "I saw you." Wait a minute. Was Jesus under the fig tree with Nathanael? No. Nathanael knew that. Now, in the hot climate days, very popular for people to study the Old Testament prophets and to pray under fig trees. The leaf of a fig tree huge. That was shade. That was always a place to study and pray. I believe with all my heart, Nathanael was a man that studied the Old Testament prophecies, and he prayed underneath that fig tree. And here comes this man out of nowhere who Philip says he's of Nazareth. He's the son of Joseph. And Nathanael says, "You're going to have to prove it to me that you're the Messiah." And Jesus said, "I'll prove to you that I'm God. I know about them times where you studied the Bible. I know about them times where you met and prayed underneath that fig tree. I know all about them." So what is the response Nathanael gives? Verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Oh, he found out in a hurry. Yeah, Philip might have called him the son of Joseph, but Nathanael found out in a hurry. He is God. He said, "You're the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Isn't that wonderful? Did you get that? Did you? That was my favorite part of the study tonight. Nathanael was told about this man, and Philip didn't know really how to describe him. And he really messed things up when he tried to witness. But yet God still knew the heart of Philip. Jesus still knew the heart of Philip. And he still, because Philip's heart was right, had the right motive. All Philip wanted to do was to show Nathanael and to lead Nathanael to Jesus Christ just like he had been led. God used it, so Jesus showed up. Let me tell you something. There's times where you may witness to somebody and you just feel embarrassed because something you said or something you forgot to say. And you're like, "Man, I should. And the devil says, "You made a fool of yourself." And you think that guy's ever come to church? You think that woman's ever come to church? You don't even sound like you know the Bible. But yet, understand this, if your heart's right, we're not the one that convicts. We're not the one that converts. Jesus can still take your words, and He will use it because your heart is right. And He will use it, and He will reveal Himself to them that He is God. You tried to reveal who He really is by your words, and you couldn't do it. And by the way, you can know all the Bible you want to, and you still can't with your lips reveal who God really is to people. And you can try your best, and you may flunk it. But Jesus knows our heart. And Jesus, He's the one that reveals Himself. And He has the power. And He's the one that convicts and convinces and converts sinners to salvation. Not us. That ought to encourage you to think you're not a good witness. You're not a good witness. Get out there and tell them. Get out. You ought to know your Bible. The Bible says avoid foolish questions. Where'd Cain get his wife? We're not here to talk about Cain. I don't know where he got his wife. I mean, he didn't get it from planet Jupiter, I can tell you that. I can tell you where he didn't get it. What about this? What about that? That stuff doesn't matter right now. What really matters is Jesus died for you. And He shed His blood because we're all sinners. And His blood is the only way that we can wash away our sins and save us. Amen. Just tell Him what you know. Tell Him what He did for you. And Jesus will use that in a powerful way. Now, Nathanael, later on, you'll not read his name in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And the word Nathanael, but his other name is Bartholomew. Remember we read about Simon. He said that thou shalt be called Cephas. And so there's different names there. And so Nathanael was Bartholomew in Matthew, Mark, Luke. And let's close with this. He says, "You're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." Isn't that interesting that that is a title that Jesus never forbid people to call him? He never forbid people to call him the King of Israel. He did not come as the King of Israel. He came as a Messiah, as a Savior. But he never denied people that. Nathanael called him the King of Israel. Jesus never rebuked him. We know of other scriptures that where he was called the King of Israel, King of the Jews on the cross, the title, King of the Jews. The Lord never said no, because we know that is future. Future tense, the millennial reign. And that's what these Jews were looking for. And now the Lord is revealing himself. I'm not here to rule and reign. I'm not here to set up a kingdom. I'm here to save your soul from hell. Before you can rule and reign with me, you got to first be saved. You got to first be part of my family. You can't rule and reign until you first have been converted. Amen? But he and one day he will be King of Israel and the King of all the world. Verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." All Jesus said to Nathanael was, "I'm going to prove to you that I'm God. Because I can see what others can't see." He revealed a secret of Nathanael. This is the same way, Brother Keith, he dealt with the woman at the well. He said, "What is it? You've been married 5 times? And the one you're living with now is not even your husband. Who told you that?" "I'm God." The same way. He knows. He knows it all. And that's what convinced the woman at the well and Nathanael, because God revealed something secret about him. He knew. The Bible says God's eyes, he beholds the good and the evil. And God said, "Nathanael." And I believe Nathanael was not a hypocrite. I don't believe it was one of those Pharisees that was very open and bold about the work. I believe Nathanael, the Bible says, had no gall. He had no iniquity and sin. Psalms 32 talks about a man being God that has no gall. And I believe that he's a man that secretly was looking for the Messiah. He wasn't a secret Christian, but he wasn't one that was saying, "Look at me, everybody. Ha, 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 look at me. I'm a Pharisee. I'm not like these publicans. I'm not like these filthy sinners." And Jesus said, "You know the thing you've been doing in secret? You've been praying and reading the Bible over there underneath that fig tree. I've watched you every time you've done it. Where's your fig tree tonight? You have a fig tree? You have a fig tree? You have a place you go to and you just go and you read your Bible and you pray? You may have 2 or 3 different fig trees, but you go there and you get in the shade of the Almighty. And he blocks away all the cares of this world and all the negative things from your life. And for a little while, you can just steal away and be still and know that he's God." Every time you do something with the right motive, whether I know it, whether anybody else knows it, God knows. And God said to Nathanael, "I know nobody else knows your great heart. No one else knows about your love for God. You may not understand everything, Nathanael, but I'm here to reveal the Messiah. I'm Him." And Nathanael, I knew every time you got up early in the morning and you stealed away. I knew every time at night you stealed away and read your Bible. I knew every time at lunch you took a Bible to work and you read it and you prayed. I remember whenever I was at Matthew's Building Supply, the job I had before I came here, I operated a forklift at a lumber yard. And God put me there because it wasn't long until I began working with Gulf Coast Prison Ministry. And that led open another door where I began to preach revivals and meetings and camp meetings. And so I remember that Oregon was not quite in the world, but she was in the womb. And I remember God called me and I thought, "Man, I got to work, but at the same time, God's called me to preach." And I remember going into the office, The guy that owned Matthew Billsply was Bo. And I walked in and I said, Bo, and I tell you, I spend a lot of time in prayer. Boy, I prayed. I knew that that he was not a Christian man. A good man, not a Christian man. And I know he could say, you know, Lee, you know, if that's what you need to do, then you go ahead. And we need somebody full-time around here. So I pray, I said, Lord, I need my job, but I need more to preach the gospel. Lord, if you open the door for me to preach, I've got to go. And I went into his office, and I stood there, and he said, come on in, Lee. And I sat down in his big old office, and he sat across his desk, and I was a little nervous, not knowing what the outcome would be. I said, Bo, I really appreciate what you've done for me. I said, you've been good to me. I said, you've given me a good job, and you've been real kind to me, and I love working here. I said, I love being outside, and love running these forklifts. And I said, I don't know if you understand, but God saved me. And I said, and he's called me to preach. I said, Bo, the Lord's been opening doors for me. He's been really opening doors for me, and I don't know how many doors he'll open. I said, it's just kind of, he'll open one here and one there. I said, so I also need to work, too. And before I could get any other words out, he interrupted me and said, he's Ali, we really don't really don't like to have part-time help here. I said, I understand. He said, but I worked with a preacher before. He said, I'm sure we can work out something with you. And I missed a lot of Fridays and Mondays because I traveled. I missed a lot of Thursdays, Friday. And them boys at work, well, they really ragged me for that. You live for the Lord. They give me a hard time about showing favoritism to me. Our revivals were always Thursday, Friday, Saturdays before the prisons. And then I'd preach usually somewhere on Sundays. Sometimes I'd leave and preach somewhere on Wednesday night on the way. And so I miss a lot of days, but when I was home, I worked. I never called my boss man and told him I was somewhere and I couldn't go to work. When I was home, I went to my job. You can call Bo in here right now, and every boss man I've ever had, and ask them about Lee Benton since he'd been saved, and they'll tell you he's been a good worker. He's worked. Work ain't never scared me, Tim Holloway. Never bothered me. And so I went. And I mentioned Tim because Tim's a worker. But I'm telling you, I stood there and he said, I've worked with preachers before. I said, just give us a week advance notice and we'll work it out. And boy, the Lord started opening doors and I'd work. And I got to keep some of the insurance. We had that bait, we had Morgan. And I went out and preached and boy, they ragged me. They got where they're just so cold to me. I'd come in and work Mondays or Tuesday and boy, they made sure I got the hardest orders to load, the biggest orders to pull. I mean, they made sure I got all the yellow pine and made sure I got all the treated and made sure I got all the sheetrock and all that. They did that on purpose. I know it. I heard someone say, you need to make up for the days you're not here. And I remember I'd take that forklift during break and lunch, and I'd always pull in between some plywood. I'd back that four-wheel up there, and I would try to back up where the plywoods were stacked, where the only way you could see me, you had to walk by and see me, and I'd back up in there, and I had a little New Testament I kept in a little box on my forklift. And I'd sit there, and the relief, and the strength, and the hope, and the peace I got sitting there, open up that little New Testament, and just reading God's Word. Boy, I'd read God's Word, and God'd speak to my heart. And boy, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to just steal away and get in God's Word. If the only thing you're getting is what you get from this preacher, you're going to starve. You're not going to be the Christian you ought to be. You've got to have your own time. You've got to pray. You've got to read your Bible. And I say prayer, I don't mean say a little two-minute prayer every morning. You've got to pray. You've got to pray. You've got to pray, and you've got to read that Bible. And I tell you, it changed your life. It'll change. It'll give you power. It'll give you power that no one understands. And so I beg you, be a Nathaniel. Find that fig tree. Don't tell me where it's at. I said that because that's past. But find a fig tree and say, Lord, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. Your mama's got to get away from those kids. You got to find some time. Your daddy's helped the mom. Say, honey, this is my time. I'm going to read my Bible and pray. This time I'm going to... Then the husband will say, honey, I'll take care of them kids. Don't worry, they won't bother you. They won't harass you. Maybe get up early when the kids are not up quite yet. My wife, and she's not in here, but she never knows what it means to me when I get up in the morning. And she gets up a good hour before I do. And I don't get up late. I have to get the kids going. I'm used up early. But she gets up so early. And I've always wondered why. Sometimes she's been having acid reflux surgery, and she gets up early and goes and lay on the couch a lot, sits in the recliner. And I thought that's what she was doing. But I found her Bible and her notebook, and they're always on her chair. And I noticed that there'd be different places. And I found out that every morning, I'm sure she has missed some mornings because of sickness, whatever, but her Bible's laying there where she had got up before the kids did, and she opened her Bible and read her Bible. Yeah, that's a blessing. Let's be Nathaniels. You know what, Brother Key? For those that will be Nathaniels that will study God's Word and they'll pray, they'll also enjoy what Nathaniel enjoyed, and that was some things God will reveal to them. He said, preacher, I don't understand all that stuff you give. I ain't never seen it. I don't have been rude. I'm telling you, you got to study. You got to dig. You just can't read over it. You got it. You got to get in it. You can't be a tourist. You got to be an explorer. I'm telling you, when you God will give you things, you'll be like, wow, I never seen that before. Hey, man, praise the Lord. Get in that Word, and God will bless you. God give us some Andrews, and God give us some Nathaniels. Two disciples you hardly ever read about. But what great men of God was Andrew and Nathaniel. I love you. Thank you for being here tonight. I hope that was a real blessing.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.